in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. What we are doing is called ministering to the Lord. Go ahead and just minister to Him in worship. Thank you, Father. Isomonde kelefika palakatanas zebila kranda kaparakatos kapranda kapatai kila brande kapuska bakatenos. Thank you, Father. We acknowledge and reference your presence in our midst. Thank you for the blood of the everlasting covenant. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for granting us a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and a wise and understanding heart. We receive grace not just to be hearers, but doers of your word. Thank you for all the blessings of your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the ministry of angels. Our hearts and our mind are open to receive all that you have for us in this feast of fat things. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. Just welcome your neighbor to your right, to your left. Say welcome in God's presence. You might be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Children of the Covenant, we continue our teaching series. Today will be the second part. Part 2, Acts chapter 3 verse 25. Our anchor scripture, Children of the Covenant, today you will be blessed. Part 2, Children of the Covenant, part. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just bring the board a bit closer here. It's a... Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant. Two important things there. We are children of the prophets. We are children of the prophets. And then he says, we are children of the covenant, where we got the title of our teaching series from, Children of the Covenant. Praise God. We are children of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, hallelujah, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we started looking at the Abrahamic covenant. Glory to God. We started looking at the Abrahamic covenant. We said the Bible is a book of covenants. God Himself is a God of covenants. His dealings and relationship with people in the Bible is based on his covenant with them. Hallelujah. And we differentiated between a covenant and a contract. I'm just trying to summarize what we looked at last week, Sunday. We said a covenant is greater and superior and stronger than a contract, okay? A covenant, in fact, the word covenant means to cut in blood, literally, to cut in blood. So every covenant involves a cutting in blood. There must be some form of blood sacrifice. Am I communicating? Every covenant involves blood sacrifice. And sacrifice is what the realm of the spirit responds to. Praise God. Sacrifice. The spirit realm responds to sacrifice. Sacrifice is a language. Am I communicating? Even the anointing, all of the authority, they come on the wings of sacrifice. And the highest form of sacrifice is blood sacrifice. In the realm of the spirit, blood is the most expensive commodity in the market of the spirit realm. You know, if you go to Terminus Market now, and you want to buy some things in Terminus Market, some things are cheaper, some things are more expensive. True of us. Now, the spirit realm is a market. And in that market of the spirit realm, the most expensive commodity is blood. Is blood. And when you talk about blood sacrifice, it's in levels. And the power that accrue from such sacrifice too is in levels. You know, there is the blood of chicken. Abi? You know, there are some people that go to native doctor or the babalawo, etc. Or they go to malam. And then they demand that they should bring chicken. Am I communicating? I just remember something now. I'm laughing. You know, there's these traditional bone setters that usually set people's bone when people have fracture. They go to traditional bone setters. Some of the bone setters are very interesting people. Some of those traditional bone setters, they will say you should bring chicken. Am I communicating? No, these things are real. I'm telling you, real, for real. You understand? They will bring chicken, then they will now break the leg of the chicken. They will now tie it. They will say, as the leg of the chicken is healing, so your own too will be healing. Then they will now put all those... Praise God. I say praise God. So what's the connection between the healing of chicken leg and they were the one that broke the leg? When the chicken came, his leg was intact. Now, what is the connection between that one and your leg? Not your leg. The leg of the person that is broken. To tell you that this thing is spiritual. Spirits are involved. What's the connection? Talk to me. Praise God. So that's why some of them, when they are putting certain doses, they will be making some incantation, chanting some things. Praise God. I say praise God. You need to understand that life is powered by blood. I say life is powered by blood sacrifice. Even the life of God, Zoe, that we are living is powered by the blood of Jesus. Am I communicating? Life is powered by blood. Manda bo shaka palata si freketena. There is chicken sacrifice. Then there is the one they will say, bring goat. Blood of animals, bulls and goats. Then there is
For some Yahoo Yahoo people, please don't do Yahoo Yahoo. It's unscriptural, okay? Some Yahoo people, they say they want to upgrade from normal Yahoo to Yahoo Plus or Yahoo Plus Plus. There is even Yahoo Pro Max. It comes as at a price. The demonic, the satanic priest doing all those charms for them with demand for. When they were doing normal Yahoo, it was animal they said they should bring. Goat or fowl or chicken. But they want to upgrade. Say, I want more money. Say, bring human sacrifice. Bring your mother, whom you love. Or bring somebody related to you. You understand? Now, there is human sacrifice. If somebody sacrifices a human being for whatever reason, and another person sacrifices an animal, which one will release more power? Human sacrifice, right? That's why I made that statement. The power rating is determined by the kind of sacrifice that is being offered. When we say altar, 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 in summary, an altar is a place of sacrifice. And you can tell how powerful an altar is based on the kind of sacrifice that is being offered on that altar. And to maintain the potency or to renew an altar, you need to continually sacrifice on that altar. Am I communicating? The power and potency of any altar is tied to the kind of sacrifice that is being offered there. Monde kebaladea. But here is the good news. The highest blood has been shed in your favor. The greatest sacrifice that can ever be offered has already been offered, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is speaking in your favor. And do you know that that is the blood of the new covenant? Am I communicating? Give me Luke chapter 22, verse 20. Luke 22, verse 20. Okay. Look at Jesus. Okay, make it go to 19. I want to pick it from somewhere so that you get it better. Verse 18. This was the Last Supper. Okay. 17. Looking for the best place to pick it. 16. Okay. Good. Good. 15. You know, sometimes this is how you keep going back until you go to verse 1. Hallelujah. Okay. This is a Passover, right? And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was crucified on the cross during Passover. Right? He was crucified during Passover because Christ is our Passover. In 1 Corinthians 5:7. He said, Christ, our Passover, has been crucified for us. Glory to God. So, that feast of Passover, one of the prophetic feasts that the children of Israel celebrated in the Old Testament, was a type and shadow that pointed towards the death of Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb. Glory to God. Now, he said, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, he ate this Passover with them. He celebrated it with them before he died, before his arrest. Next verse. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Next verse. And he took the cup. Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves. Next verse. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks, glory to God, and break it and gave them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. You see why we take the communion? So the communion is actually a commemoration and a celebration of the new covenant in his blood. Am I communicating? When we do that, we are renewing the covenant. We are what? Renewing the covenant. And we are activating all the blessings and benefits of the covenant. Hallelujah. Next verse. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Hallelujah. So he said that cup of communion, he said, is the new what? That word testament means will, and it also means covenant. Am I communicating? So the new covenant was ratified by his blood. By his blood. Glory to God. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And I thought last week that the new covenant is the ultimate fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant and all the other covenants. We looked at 7 covenants, right, in the New Testament, in the Bible, all of them in the Old Testament. We looked at 7 biblical covenants, starting with the Adamic or Edenic covenant, and then the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then the New Covenant. We said the New Covenant is the ultimate fulfillment, is the climax, is the culmination of all of God's previous covenant. Am I communicating? So all the previous covenants of promise were fully and finally fulfilled in Christ. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You remember on the cross, Jesus hung there and said, it is finished. So it was a final fulfillment of all the other covenants. And we said a covenant is a blood sworn oath, a blood sworn oath, and a sacred agreement between two or more parties or partners based upon clearly defined terms and conditions with attendant promises or benefits. Okay? The sacred agreement in a covenant is binding between both parties or partners. It has promises or benefits on one end, and then obligations or responsibilities on the other end. And this sacred agreement, it is sealed with an oath, a blood sworn oath. Every covenant is sealed with a blood sworn oath. Praise God. So covenants are oath-bound relationships, okay? And that relationship can be between God and man. So generally, covenants can be between God and man, what we call divine covenants. Or it can be between man and man. That's human covenants, okay? Can be between human beings, like David and Jonathan. 1 Samuel 18, from verse 1. You see the covenant between King David and Jonathan, the son of King Saul. That is a covenant between two human beings. Praise God. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Praise God. Yes. The homosexual said, two of them, they were gays. They were passionately in love with each other. You see how people misinterpret scriptures.
You know, the funny thing is that this generation is funny. They look for scriptural justification for everything. Do you know they are gay using this scripture? This love between David and Jonathan to justify their gayish, is it gayish relationship? Praise God. But that's not what the Bible says. It's a covenant love. Am I communicating? Is it covenant love is so powerful? It's greater than romantic love. That's why the Bible says the love David had for Jonathan was stronger than the one he had for women. How can you explain it? Covenant love. Just like they say blood is thicker than water. It's stronger than even romantic love. Praise God. Next verse. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Next verse. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to bow and to his girdle. You see, there is usually an exchange that happens when two people cut a covenant. They exchange things. Praise God. Next verse. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. He was accepted in the sight of all the people. That's favor. Praise God. I say that's favor. And also in the sight of Saul's servant. Glory to God. Also, another example of covenant between human beings is marriage covenant. Okay, marriage covenant. When husband and wife stand on the altar and they take marital vows, just know that you are entering into a covenant with that person. Praise God. I say praise God. Marriage is a covenant, a blood covenant. It is not an oath, contract. It is not a contract. It is a what? Covenant. Glory to God. This is very important. You now see why God say, I hate divorce. Hallelujah. You see, lawyers can dissolve a contract easily. But marriage is not just a contract. No, it's not a contract. It's a blood covenant. And listen, that's why in ancient Israel, and the way God even designed it is that a woman should marry as a virgin. Praise God. Now in the anatomy of a lady that is a virgin, there is what we call hymen, okay, that usually covers the entrance to a private part. Now, it is designed by God that it is a husband that should break that hymen. And usually when the hymen is broken, blood is spilled. Now, that's why we say marriage is a covenant. Praise God. Praise God. I say praise God. And that is how the marriage covenant is ratified. What of those that did not marry as virgin? That's why the mercy of God is there for you. Somebody said the sure mercies of David is part of the blessings of the covenant, the new covenant. I will come to them in details. Part of the blessings is what we call the mercy of God, the grace of God, forgiveness, and all of that. Glory to God. But I just made that point to make you understand that marriage is a covenant, okay? Then I said we have divine covenant between God and man. There is human covenant, man and man, okay? Man and woman, as you have it in marriage. Then there is what we call political covenants, okay? Kings of nations can go into covenant, okay? In the Old Testament, in the Bible days, you will see how the king of Israel can form an alliance or a covenant, have a covenant alliance with another nation, such that their enemy will become their enemy, their friends will become their friends. Anytime they are going to war or another nation rise up against them, because they are covenant partners, those armies will come and help them. Am I communicating? And we said every covenant has these four things. Promises, one. Promises talks of the benefits. Number two, terms or conditions. Number three, blood. Blood sacrifice must be there. Number four, a seal. S-E-A-L. These four elements characterize every genuine covenant. Praise God. If I pick the new covenant, for instance, the new covenant, it has promises. The Bible says we have a better covenant established upon what? Better promises. Those blessings and benefits, okay? The new covenant has terms and conditions. Jesus needed to meet all of God's terms and conditions to cut that covenant. Am I communicating? And God, in his infinite mercy, knows that there is no way a human being can meet all those terms and conditions. That was why in cutting the Abrahamic covenant, instead of Abraham entering into the covenant with God, God put him to sleep. And it was God and Jesus. The Bible says, give me that scripture, Genesis 15, a burning lamp and a smoking furnace. You understand? God the Father, God the Son, Jesus and God the Father, they entered the covenant on behalf of man, because God knows that man cannot keep all the terms and conditions. And the consequence of breaking covenants is usually terrible. That's why God told Abraham to divide those animals. You understand? Divide them into two. Then their blood is flowing in between a trench like that. Then God the Father, God the Son, they are standing. Two of them are declaring the terms and conditions of the covenant and the blessings and the consequence of breaking the covenant. If they break the covenant, their lives will be like those carcass. And their blood will flow like those animals. Are you seeing that? And only God can keep those terms without breaking them. I say only God can keep all the terms. So God the Father entered covenant with Jesus on behalf of Abraham, and by extension, you and I, because we are children of Abraham. Am I communicating? I say we are children of Abraham in the New Testament. And Jesus came and fulfilled the whole thing. Then we said, you should take note of these five important things about covenants. Number one, the parties involved become one inseparable entity. In a covenant, the parties involved become one inseparable entity. Glory to God. I was giving an example by using the new covenant. I said it has better promises. Jesus met all the terms and conditions. Whose blood was used to cut the covenant? Jesus. He sacrificed his blood, his life. Am I communicating? To cut the new covenant. Then, what is the seal of the new covenant? The Holy Spirit is a seal of the new covenant until the redemption of the purchased possession. God has put the seal in our heart. His name is called the Holy Spirit. Can you shout amen? Amen. So the Holy Spirit is like the down payment, installmental payment on you, the purchased possession. Jesus has purchased you with his blood the day you got born again. He's just waiting for the day that you will be raptured. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit is proof positive that God has purchased you. You don't belong to yourself. Your life is no longer your own.
If you understand this, you will not live your life anyhow. You know, there are some people, they are funny. Nobody should talk to me. Nobody should talk to me anyhow. Is it not my life? Is it not my life? If you are born again, it's no longer your life. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God. So your life is no longer your own. He said, glorify God in your body and in what? In your spirit. The body is not for fornication. The body is not for sexual immorality. He said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus has paid the price. He has purchased you, spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You are God's property. The Holy Spirit is a seal of the new covenant. Glory to God. We said five important things to know about covenants. The parties involved become one separable entity, just like a marriage covenant. He said, for this purpose, a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Praise God. Number two, the covenant comes with rights and responsibilities. Rights talks of the benefits, the promises, the blessings. Responsibilities talks about your covenant obligation. Number three, covenants extend to families and bloodlines. Okay? Covenants extend to families and bloodlines. Number four, covenant require witnesses. Praise God. I say praise God. Praise God. Number five, covenants can only be dissolved by death. So take note of those five very important keys when we talk about covenants. Now, Genesis 15. Genesis 15 verse, is it 7? Give me verse 7. Genesis 15, 7. Kebo kosa balakidas. Verse 5. Go back to verse 5. We saw how God preached the gospel to Abraham using the story of the stars. Lord brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars. And that word tell, I explained last week that it's not just counting the stars. In the Hebrew, that word tell, it means, can you recount the story of the stars? And God spoke to Abraham because Abraham came from a community that these people, they were moon worshippers, a lot of them were into astrology, stargazers, they understand the constellation and all of that. Praise God. I know sometimes God will speak to you in a language you will understand. Praise God. I say praise God. Now, there is a normal scientific study of the stars, the moon, those celestial bodies, planetary bodies and constellation. It's called what? Astronomy. Some people go to school to study astronomy, right? Eh? Yes. You understand? If I, from all those studies, save all these weather reports, meteorology, is it meteorologist? They can tell you how tomorrow's weather, how next month, how next year weather will look like. But there is the perverted version called astrology. Now, astronomy is okay, no problem. But astrology, that one, tell your neighbor, You know what you mean? Astrology is the perverted version that Satan has corrupted. They use it for divination. By studying the alignment and all of that, the movement and the positioning of those celestial bodies, planetary bodies and stars, all these stargazers and astrologers, they can engage in what we call divination or fortune telling. They can use it to foretell the future. fortune tellers. They use astrology. Am I communicating? To foretell. Praise God. That one is unscriptural. God warned the children of Israel. That's why some of you, I hope you are not here, doing horoscope. Horoscope. You wake up in the morning. Hey, let me check. You carry your phone. Let me check. What's the horoscope? They are now giving you... Do you know there are people that do it? As in monthly prognostication, daily prognostication, how your day will go like, what are the fortunes that will come your way, and all of that. There are some Christians, unfortunately, that do that. That is astrology. That is unscriptural. You open the door for demonic influence if you do that. Don't do that. Am I communicating? Avoid every form of horoscope. Don't use horoscope. Let me tell your neighbor, don't do horoscope. Say, let me check my star. Let me check which one will be my soulmate. You know, there are people that do it even for relationship. Let me check which kind of soulmate will I be compatible with. It's unscriptural, okay? Don't open yourself to demonic influence. So God used the story of the stars to preach the gospel to Abraham. Now there are 12 constellations. I don't have time. Let me just summarize something. What in the Hebrew they call Mazarot. If you study the book of Job, the Bible talked about Mazarot. Okay, in the Hebrew, Mazarot is like the name for the 12 constellations. And that was what God was talking to Abraham. He said, can you recount the story of the stars? Okay, and from there God preached the gospel to him, and there are 12 of them, but I'll just bring out the ones that are important to explain one or two things. Aries, Virgo. I'm not writing all the 12. I'm just bringing the ones that are important to my explanation. Aries, Virgo, there is Libra, there is Scorpio, there is Sagittarius. Now, this Virgo, it literally means virgin. It's actually the picture of a woman, okay? In the Bible, who was the virgin that conceived Jesus? Help me. Virgin Mary. So, Virgo... this particular constellation is talking of the Virgin Mary that will conceive Jesus. Am I communicating? That will give birth to Jesus, the Messiah. This is how God preached the gospel, using the story of the stars to Abraham. And then Aries, literally, it means goat or lamb. Praise God. Goat or lamb. Now, Jesus is the lamb of God. You remember John the prophet, John the Baptist, when he was baptizing people and then he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the lamb of God." Which what? Taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus is called the lamb of God. The lamb without blemish. Am I communicating? Is a perfect sacrifice. And all those goats in the Old Testament that they were being sacrificed, okay, all those Old Testament system of sacrifice under the Aaronic and Levitical priesthood is a type and a shadow of Jesus, who is the ultimate sacrifice. Glory to God. So the goat or lamb is talking about Jesus, actually, the Lamb of God. Then Libra is talking about the cross, Jesus' death on the cross. Praise God. Even the picture of Libra looks like a cross. It's death on the cross. That the virgin will give birth to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Okay? The Lamb that will die on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Am I communicating? He will be slain. He said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Praise God. I say, praise God. Is he suffering for himself on that cross? Did he die for himself? No. He became our sin offering. He became our sin bearer. Glory to God. He took our place. He was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made, glory to God, the righteousness of God in Christ. So it was our sin offering, our sin bearer. This is talking about his substitutionary suffering and sacrificial death on the cross. But the story did not end there. Scorpio is talking about his struggle with Satan, the serpent. Praise God. His struggle with the serpent called Satan. You know, the Bible calls Satan the old serpent, right? Scorpio. Praise God. Now, we know that it was Satan that moved the Jews, specifically the high priest, the scribe and all of that, out of envy. They delivered Jesus to the Roman government for him to be what? Crucified. All of them were under demonic influence. And Satan thought that by killing Jesus, he has put an end to God's redemptive plan. But the Bible says, "At the prince of this world knew." He said, if they had known, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. That's to tell you that it was Satan that moved all those people. Glory to God. They didn't know that it was part of the plan. It was part of the plan. Satan doesn't know everything. No? I used to think Satan was omniscient. When I read that, I said, the devil was ignorant of God's plan. He was ignorant of the wisdom of God. Am I communicating? The wisdom of God is more than common sense. It's more than common sense. It was part of God's wisdom for Jesus to die, but Satan thought that he had put a full stop. He had ended God's plan. So Jesus was crucified. He died, commanded his own death in record time. And then when he died physically, his spirit went to hell. And for 3 days and three nights, the Bible says Jesus suffered. He bore the full brunt of Jehovah's anger and wrath in punishment against sin. He paid in full. Am I communicating? If you read Psalm 22, David being a prophet, David even saw the suffering of Jesus in hellfire. When Jesus went to hell, okay? When Jesus went to hell, he suffered in an untold manner that David the prophet saw it and wrote it in Psalm 22. Am I communicating? His spiritual suffering. The Bible says his visage was mad more than any man. Jesus became unrecognizable. The nature of sin damaged, deformed him totally. Glory to God. No wonder the Father left him on that cross when he was made sin. And then he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did the father forsake him? Because he was made sin. And God is of a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Am I communicating? He went to hell. He suffered. The Bible said, there was a combat in hell, actually, after 3 days and three nights. But before that third day, Jesus suffered. Am I communicating? It's as if Satan sent for all the demons on earth. He redeployed them back to hell. We have caught the ultimate prisoner. He is here with us. So all of you, come back. Reinforce. Ensure that he does not leave this prison. Am I communicating? But he went there for you. Do you know Jesus has gone to hell on your behalf? Yes, he went to hell so that you will not go there. Am I communicating? He suffered in hell so that you will not go to hell to go and suffer again. Am I communicating? Shabalako seketena. Then after 3 days and three nights, after being made sin with our sin, he became curse for us. Galatians 3:13. It says, give me Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And what is the curse of the law? In summary, sickness, poverty, death. Okay? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. When was he made a curse for us? When he hung on that tree, on the cross. He said, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. To what end? That what? That the blessing may what? Next verse. That the blessing. In other words, this is the purpose. This is the reason why Jesus became a curse for us. It is to this end. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen? Amen. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So it's even the blessing of Abraham that qualifies you to receive the promise of the Spirit. Am I communicating? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you shout amen? Amen. This is very, very important. Malakuza Bagadia. He suffered. Tell your neighbor, Jesus suffered. For my sin, for me. Because he took our place. See, he bore the full brunt of Jehovah's punishment against sin. Was fully, all of God's anger and wrath against sin was poured on him for those 3 days and three nights before he resurrected. See, our sins have been punished fully in Christ. He was full. No wonder the Bible says the chastisement of our shalom was upon him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He had carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, that word chastisement means punishment. For our shalom, our peace, was fully meted on him. He paid the price for our shalom. He was punished so that you will enjoy peace, so that you will be made whole, so that nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing will be lacking in your life. And by his stripes we were healed. And then on the third day, that takes us to Sagittarius, the next constellation. On the third day, this is talking of his triumph. Glory to God. This is talking of his triumph. The Bible said he put off from himself. Why? Because after he had met all of God's, paid all the price for our sin, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost came and quickened him. The Bible says he was made alive in the Spirit. In fact, Jesus became born again. Oh yes. He was made alive in the spirit. He said, "Thou art my beloved son, this day have I begotten thee." What does it mean to be born again? Jesus was made alive. Remember, he was made sin initially, so he had a sin nature because he took our place. So the Holy Ghost needed to create him. Are you getting this? Or is this too high for you? He was made alive in the spirit. And then the Bible says, after he was made alive in the spirit, he was quickened first in the spirit. And the Bible said, he taught himself, glory to God, he disarmed principality, Colossians 2, verse 15. He disarmed, he spoiled principalities and powers. So those demonic forces were on him. There was a contest, there was a combat in hell, you understand. Jesus put off from himself. Just picture somebody that so many people are on the person, as in they are pressing the person, and then suddenly the person pew, threw them off. Am I communicating? He put off from himself, he disarmed, he despoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them in hell, in hell, Satan's home. All these things took place in hell. There were spectators. For the Bible to say he made a public spectacle, there were spectators. Who were the spectators watching the whole drama? Eh? Who were the spectators? Those Old Testament saints that were waiting for Jesus, the Messiah. They knew that he would come for them. Am I communicating? Where were they? Abraham's bosom. Remember the story of the rich man Lazarus? That hell had two parts. Actually, three parts. There is Abraham's bosom. And then up there, there is a great gulf between them. Lazarus died. Lazarus the beggar, he died. He was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man died. He was in hellfire. He was being tormented. Even though all of them were in Hades, they were all in Hades. But the rich man is being tormented in hellfire. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and all of that was in Hades. Then there is the underground part of Hades. It's called Tartarus. That's where those fallen angels that did not keep their first estate in the days of Noah. You remember those fallen angels? You think the flood killed them? The flood that wiped out the humanity except those in Noah's ark. Did it kill those fallen angels? They didn't die. So, and these are wicked spirits. So God chained them and put them in the underground. That Tartarus. They are awaiting the great day of white throne judgment. Am I communicating? If God should release those ones, they will cause havoc on earth. You know, Satan is very wicked. So are his demons. So God put them in chains. The book of Jude told us about them. He says the angels that kept not their first estate, as he reserved in everlasting chains. They are in Tartarus. Are you getting me? It's the underground part of hell. So the spectators that saw those the combat in hell were those in Abraham's bosom, and they were clapping for Jesus. Hey, give them uppercut, Chinese arm. You understand? You know. And then, when Jesus triumphed, you know, guess what? He went to them. The Bible says he went and preached to them. Those spirits in prison, he preached to them. And they believed the gospel. That was the day they got born again. So later, when Jesus was ascending to heaven, he carried them. So they were among the very set of people that Jesus went to heaven with. The Bible says a cloud received, you know, during his ascension, a cloud what? Received him out of their sight. They were looking at him. Jesus was on Mount Olive, and he ascended before their very eyes. And a cloud. Now, in interpreting Bible words, you need to make reference to other use of that word. The Bible talked about Hebrews 12. We being surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So that cloud that received him is not this physical cloud. It's not this literal physical cloud. It's talking of cloud of saints. Those Old Testament saints that he just delivered from Abraham's bosom. Am I communicating? He took them with him to heaven. They couldn't go to heaven before because they were not born again. But now he has preached to them. They have accepted what? They've gotten born again. They've received salvation. So they are now qualified what? To go to hell. All the while in Abraham's bosom, they were waiting for Jesus. They were waiting for him to cash the promissory notes. God had promised them redemption and salvation. And it is Jesus that will come and cash the note. Am I communicating? So that was when they went to heaven. Now, that Abraham's bosom is no longer existing. Okay? It's no longer existing. Today, if people die, is it that straight heaven or straight hell? There is no in between. I said there is no more in between. You know, some people have preached purgatory. You know, the teaching on purgatory is actually Abraham's bosom. Do you understand? Some people have, they think that it's still existing today. No, it's no longer existing. Nothing like that. Am I communicating? After Jesus resurrected, he transferred all of them in that Abraham's bosom, took them to hell, and closed it down forever. Am I communicating? Then he triumphed over sin. He was victorious over hell. He was victorious over death. No wonder Apostle Paul said, "Oh death, where is thy grave? Oh hell, where is, oh sin, where is your victory?" Am I communicating? Jesus was triumphant over sin. Jesus was victorious over sin, over Satan, over hell, over the grave, and over death. He conquered them all. Tell your neighbor, he conquered them all. There is no way Jesus will have come out of hell if he did not conquer hell and conquer death and conquer the grave. Impossible. Impossible. No prisoner can come out of hell like that. You must have to conquer hell, conquer death, conquer the grave. And guess what? He defeated them all. Can you shout amen? Amen. And he resurrected as Lord. He resurrected as a victorious general. No wonder when he appeared to the 500 disciples at once, he said, "All hail. All hail." It sounded like the voice of a victorious army general that just returned from a conquest. That just returned from a successful conquest. A victorious adventure. He said, "All hail." He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." And on the basis of that, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." You've been licensed and authorized to preach the gospel everywhere. And you shout, "Amen." And then finally, this constellation called Leo is talking of lion. The picture looked like a lion. I know the Bible says Jesus arose. Though he died, listen, he died as a lamp. He died as a lamp, right? The lamp of God was slain. The lamp of God was slain for the salvation of the world. But he arose not as a lamp. He arose as what? The lion of the tribe of Judah. No wonder in Revelation chapter 5, when John was weeping, when he saw that book, the destiny of the human race that was sealed with seven seals. Am I communicating? And then he said, no man was found worthy. No angel was found worthy. None of the 24 elders was found worthy to pick up the book and open the scroll. And then he was weeping that, the destiny of humanity is doomed. Who will save us? Who will help us? Then an elder came and tapped him. He said, "Weep no more." He said, "Rejoice, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." To open the book and break the seal. Am I communicating? Katobo lekida kaparakatai. Then give me verse 12. Manda barakataya. Ilo freketena. So he paid the price for the salvation of the whole world. You see how God used the story of the stars to preach the gospel to Abraham, that though Jesus will be born by Virgin Mary and he will die as a lamb of God on the cross, and then he will suffer for our sin. He will, you know, he said the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the serpent, and between your seed and our seed. He said he shall strike your heel, you shall bruise his head. Do you know that was exactly what happened? I said that was exactly what happened. You know, in talking about all of this consolation, you will see the picture of this. What's the name of this popular actor that they usually use for these medieval movies? Achilles. Achilles. You will see Achilles bruising the head of a Hydra-headed monster. Am I communicating? A Hydra-headed dragon. You see him bruising the head like this. In the picture of the Scorpio and in the picture of the Libra, is a typology of how Jesus will bruise the head. You know, there was a prophecy that Jesus will bruise the head of the serpent. Am I communicating? So everything, you know, God created the stars before Satan perverted all these things they are now using for astrology and zodiac. Like all these 12 constellations, they use them for zodiac today. But remember, the devil is not creative. The devil did not create them. Rather, what he does is that he corrupts any good thing God does, and then he perverts them. Satan is a perverter, and he is a corrupter of any good thing God does. Who created the sun? God. Who created the moon? Who created the stars? Who created the Milky Way galaxies? And there are over 300 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone. How many? 300 billion stars. The Milky Way galaxy that our planet belongs to has over 300 what? Billion stars. And that's just one galaxy. And guess what? The universe has over 100 billion galaxies. And all this came into being following only one command. Let there be. And there was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is God not wonderful? God no be Satan mate. I say God no be Satan mate. The next time they say opposite of word and opposite. Opposite of God, I beg, no mention Satan. No even mention the believer in Christ. What's the opposite of Satan? Don't mention God and don't mention a believer in Christ. You know, we not be inmates. I say we not be inmates. Not to talk of our Father. Glory to God. Let's look at some of the blessings and benefits. I'll round up with this. Blessings and benefits of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the new covenant. Glory to God. Now, the Abrahamic covenant, there were three basic things God promised Abraham. Number one, God promised him land, landed property. Number two, what we call the promised land, okay? And the promised land is not heaven. Is a type and a shadow of our place in Christ, our life in Christ, our inheritance in Christ. Am I communicating? Abrahamic covenant, God promised him blessings. He said, I will bless you. He released sworn blessings on Abraham. Hallelujah. God released what? Sworn blessings. Then the third thing God promised Abraham is a seed. Say, I will make this covenant between your seed and what? Between me and you and between your seed. And that seed is what? Christ. We saw that Christ is the seed of Abraham. And Christ has a head called Jesus. Christ has a body called what? The church, you and I. Now give me Romans chapter 4 verse 13. Let me show you something interesting there. Romans chapter 4 verse 13. It says the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Hallelujah. The promise that he, that's Abraham, should be the heir. What's the meaning of heir? The owner, legal owner. That word heir means legal owner of the world. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Look up, look up. That means by the Abrahamic covenant, God willed the whole world to Abraham. He became the heir, the legal possessor. That word heir means possessor. It means a sharer by lot. It means the legal owner. Am I communicating? God willed the world to one man called Abraham. When did God give it to him? In Genesis chapter 13 verse 14. You remember when after Lot was separated from him, God said, lift up your eyes and look northward and southward and eastward and westward for all the land. For all the land. Next verse. All the land. That word land is an interesting word, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S, in the Hebrew. It means world. It means earth, as in planet earth. It means the world. These are synonyms for that word, land. You know, when we say all the land, in your mind, you are thinking of plot of land or acre of land. Mm-mm. Eretz means more than that. It means the earth. It also means what? World. You now see why when Paul is recounting this story, he didn't say the promise that he should be the heir of land. Paul used the word world, cosmos, because they mean the same thing. So Abraham saw it with the eyes of faith. God said, everything you see, I will give to you. And he saw the whole world, and God gave it to him. You now see why he used the word, Apostle Paul, Romans 4:13. Go back. You will get it now. He said, for the promise, the covenant came with this promise. Am I communicating? That he should be the heir. Are you seeing it? Of the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to announce to you that by this Abrahamic covenant, of which you are a beneficiary of, the world has been willed to you. You are the heir of the world. I'm showing you the blessings and benefits. You own this world. The devil does not own the world, though. We own the world. We own cosmos. This is Apostle Paul's understanding. Give me 1 Corinthians 3:21. He made a very outrageous statement. It's based on this understanding. Because he now came to understand that we are the seed of Abraham. And we are the heirs according to the promise of covenant blessing. And by that covenant, this world belongs to us. Am I communicating? It has been willed to Abraham, who is the father of us all. And we are his seed. I say we are his seed because we are in Christ. Because he said to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. And that seed is Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Which promise? The promise of covenant blessing. Are you seeing something? He said, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Let me preach it to your neighbor. All things are yours. In Christ, all things are yours, because you are the seed of Abraham. Next verse. It has willed the world and all things to us. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, these are apostles. These are ministry gifts to the body of Christ. He said, or the world. Are you seeing the world there again? Are you seeing the world there again? Or life or death. Anyone you want. The choice is up to you. Am I communicating? It's like a tray. You know, just imagine a tray. They brought so many nice things and then they present to you. They say, choose anyone you want. You say, I like this one. Life, yes, I pick. Death, I don't like that one. I pick this one. Are you getting me? A Christian does not die by force. He dies by choice. All things present, all things to come, all are yours. Let me tell you, neighbor, all are yours. Oh yes. Kaleboko sabagadaya. Because we are the seed of Abraham. Give me Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 29. Glory to God. I say glory to God. All things are ours. All things belong to us because we are in Christ. Shabaka soboteke balatia. It says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
2 Peter 1 verse 2. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. He says, according as his divine power, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. He says, according to as his divine power has given unto us all things. Somebody say all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. God has granted us, graciously given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But they are channeled to us. We access them through what? The knowledge. You see why knowledge, revelation knowledge is so important. The Greek word is epignosis, the highest kind of knowledge. It says through the epignosis of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Glory to God. You cannot enjoy your inheritance in ignorance. To enjoy your blood-bought inheritance, it has to be by the light of revelation knowledge. You can only partake of your inheritance in light, not in darkness. Satan rules over the ignorant. Am I communicating? Watch this. Part of your inheritance is what? Talk to me. Mention anyone. Mention, just mention anything. Now, the inheritance you just mentioned now, you can only be empowered to access and receive them on the platform of light. The light of revelation knowledge. Even faith depends on light, the light of revelation knowledge. Faith anchors on revelation knowledge. And you receive by faith. Am I communicating? You receive your inheritance by faith, which is anchored on revelation knowledge of the truth. As long as you are in ignorance, Satan will always have the upper hand. Hallelujah. So, the new covenant has blessings and benefits. Let's look at some of them. Give me Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Some of the benefits and blessings of the new covenant. It says, saying with a loud voice, what is a lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. Somebody say power. Supernatural empowerment. You see, when blood covenants are made, power is released. And the blood of Jesus carries and contains the greatest kind of power there is. There is power in his blood. I said there is power in that blood. The blood of the everlasting covenant. When human blood are used for sacrifice, you access some level of power. In the occult, they use human blood, right? But when Jesus shed his own blood and cut covenant with God, the greatest kind of power, I said the highest kind of power, was made available to you in Christ. That's why you shouldn't be afraid. You see, except you don't know who you are and what you have, you shouldn't be afraid of anybody. They are using demonic power. You use God's power, which is the highest. Agbaranla. Is that not how Mount Zion call it? The highest sacrifice Jesus has been offered. And he used his blood to cut covenant and released power, the ultimate power. Power for supernatural progress. Power to prosper. No wonder he said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power to get wealth, that he may what? Establish his covenant. Tell your neighbor, you have the power to get wealth because of the covenant. Look up. That word get, Deuteronomy 8:18. Power, get, it means produce. Now that word get is not necessarily talking of, it's not talking of as in acquiring something. It means to produce, to make, to manufacture. Yeah, if you study it in Hebrew. So in Christ, you have the power to be a wealth creator. It's actually power to create wealth. That's what he's talking about. It makes you a what? Wealth producer. Say with me, I'm a wealth producer. I'm not chasing after money. I'm not a hustler. I'm not involved in the rat race of life, chasing after money and things. Rather, I have been made a creator of wealth. I have power to produce wealth. I have power in Christ to make wealth, to manufacture wealth. So you are not poor. I say you are not poor. I say you are not poor. You know, there are different kinds of wealth. There are different ways people get money and wealth. There are different ways people become wealthy and rich. For instance, people can become rich and wealthy by inheritance. As in, you were born into wealth, okay? Your parents were very rich and wealthy, and then by birth, you were born into wealth. Like people born into wealthy families, people born into royal families. Am I communicating? Or maybe by marriage covenant. Somebody married a billionaire. Am I communicating? By covenant, you have access to that billions too. Now, people can also become wealthy by applying principles, both natural and spiritual principles that trigger wealth and abundance. Am I communicating? People can become wealthy by labor, productive labor, skillful labor. He that gathereth by labor shall increase. Am I communicating? People work hard and all of that. But listen, the highest kind of wealth comes by covenant. The highest, see, covenant wealth is the highest kind of wealth. No wonder when you are watching Nigerian movie, when somebody wants to make bastard money, how does he make it? You will see Kanayo there. Nah, he sacrifice. There must be blood. Human sacrifice somewhere. They are trying to get it. They are trying to give you a mindset that it is through blood that you can command that kind of massive wealth. Are you getting my point? Now, human blood, when shed, in the occult and all of that can produce some level of wealth, how much more the blood of Jesus? Think of it. Think of it. And that blood has been shed. Are you getting me? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake," tell your neighbor, "for your sake," Jesus became poor for your sake. When did he become poor? On the cross. When he was made sin with our sin. When he was made poor with our poverty. When he was made sick with our sickness. When he was made a curse with our curses. Jesus became poor for 3 days and three nights. Are you getting me? He says, "For your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." My question is, has he been made poor? When did it happen? 2,000 years ago. So, that means you were made rich too, 2,000 years ago. Because on that cross, there was a great exchange. He took our nature of sin. He took all our sins and gave us his righteousness. He took our poverty and gave us his wealth and riches. He took our sickness. He gave us healing and health. Are you getting me? There was a great exchange on that cross. He took our natural human life and gave us Zoe. He gave us his own life. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Jesus did not die for nothing. He didn't shed his blood for nothing. One of the things that his blood pour is for you to be rich and wealthy. Jesus shed his blood so that you will enjoy blood money. You will enjoy covenant wealth. See, covenant wealth is blood money. Money that comes at the cost of what? Somebody's blood. In this context, whose blood was shed? I say, whose blood was shed? Whose blood was shed? In the occult, after the occultic grandmaster, somebody said, "I want to be rich and wealthy. I'm tired of poverty." He said, "Bring your mother for sacrifice." Now he has brought his mother. They have killed and sacrificed his mother. And the occultic grandmaster has done the ritual. He said, "It is done. Go and become rich." Now, do you know, from that point henceforth, the guy will be expecting to be rich. He will be expecting his business to work out, those contracts to work out, whatever he set his hand to do to work. Why? Because his faith is in his blood sacrifice. Now, if it is true, dear, come and think of yourself. Jesus' blood has been shed. I said they sacrificed it. And the blood is on the altar speaking. So therefore, the works of your hands are blessed. Your business is blessed. This is why you must prosper in all that you do. Are you getting me? Doors must open for you. He said his blood is speaking better things. That blood is speaking blessings. He's speaking favor. He's speaking wisdom. He's speaking prosperity. Can you shout amen? Blood is involved. I want you to have this understanding. Because of that blood covenant, no more defeat. Why is it that David defeated Goliath? He was conscious of the covenant. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God?" His faith was in the covenant. Circumcision was the seal of the Abrahamic covenant. And he had faith in it. All the other Israelite army, including Saul, all of them, they didn't have faith in the covenant. No wonder they were paralyzed with fear. See, you must have faith in this new covenant in his blood. This is the basis for your prosperity is not your hard work. You see, this is our problem. We don't have this understanding. We think it's those principles. It's good to do business. It's good to work hard. It's good to offer value. But that is not the basis. So the basis is that blood has been shed. The blood of Jesus that speaketh better things. And it is on the basis of that sacrifice that we work hard. It is on the basis of that sacrifice that we do business. So we do the business with the mindset of it not. Failure doesn't come into this matter. We can imagine. After somebody has been sacrificed, you think I'm. Even in Nigeria movie, it doesn't happen. After the guy don't sacrifice his mama, he's still in poverty. He say in business, no, they work. Have you seen any movie like that? If Nigerian director and producer will not think that way, why should you think that way? You see your problem? You should start putting your faith in that blood covenant. The highest blood has been shed. Who say you will not marry? Who say you will not marry well? God punish devil. Listen, it doesn't matter any other covenant. This covenant in his blood swallows up every demonic covenant. It swallows up his blood dripping on the altar. It speaketh better things. It speaks victory. Abraham, imagine. A battle that five kings fought against four kings. They were defeated by the four kings, led by this bully called Chedorlaomer. And he packed all their spoil, including Lot, Abraham's nephew. When Abraham heard, he took 315 trained servants, covenant man. He took three. See, the covenant gave him wisdom for military warfare. He gave him strategic military intelligence. Am I communicating? Took 315 trained servants born in his house, divided them, strategized, went after that terrible king, Chedorlaomer, and imagine, confederate of kings and armies were defeated by Abraham and his 315 trained servants. Why? Because the covenant guarantees victory in battle. The covenant guarantees victory. Abraham could not lose. Ayagabala kataya. Who taught those people how to fight? The 315 trained servants. Somebody said the blessing. The blessing covenant. We give you wisdom on how to flourish in farming, in that your business. It will show you how to attract customers like flies. It will give you divine ideas, concept, and insight. It will give you creativity. You see, the power to get wealth, they come in form of creative ideas, innovative ideas, concept and insight, witty invention. They come in form of wisdom. Am I communicating? It comes in form of favor. Palatizo brandaka palataya. We are feasting on the roasted lamb that was slain. We are standing in that blood. So even when you are making your faith declaration, be conscious of the blood sacrifice. You are standing on it. On the basis of this blood sacrifice, you are making declaration. Am I communicating? Why will it not work? When you are standing in blood, shaliko barakataya, embreketena, kapatiko bakatai, it cannot not work. It matters your consciousness. Your business cannot not work. Your health cannot not work. Your finances cannot not work. You cannot not be favored. Because you are standing in blood. You are conscious of the blood. The ultimate sacrifice has been offered. Therefore, I am expected to prosper. Therefore, I'm expected to be successful. Therefore, I am expected. It releases power for supernatural success. People should not be able to explain your result. Because this one is blood covenant. Blood is speaking. They should not be able to explain your wealth. Yes, it's good to do business. It's good to work hard. But your wealth cannot be explained. Mandakaba is called blood money. The blood of Jesus paid for the money. It's called covenant wealth. It's the highest kind of wealth. That was the kind of wealth Abraham had. The Bible says, and Abraham was extremely rich in silver, in gold, in cattle. His son Isaac, during famine, by the power of the covenant, the Bible says, and Isaac sold. Genesis 26, verse 12 and 13. And Isaac sold. And in that same land, during famine, he reaped 100-fold harvest. Somebody said the power of the covenant. Because the covenant was working. Listen, the covenant is stronger than any economic climate. The covenant is stronger than any economic recession. It is greater. The covenant will dominate economic famine. God's covenant children, they were in Egypt during those 7 years of famine. The Bible said when the Egyptians were perishing of hunger, they offered themselves after selling all their land and money failed in Egypt. They said, Pharaoh, buy us. They came to Joseph. He said, buy us. Just give us food. And the Bible said, God's covenant people, the children of Israel, they lived in Goshen. Hey. The same Egypt, but in a different department. It's called Goshen. And the Bible says, they increased exceedingly. They multiplied. There was nothing like lack. They didn't know the meaning of famine. Are you hearing me? Because of the power of the covenant, it brings about supernatural exemption. It exempts you from suffering. It exempts you from poverty, lack, and scarcity. It exempts you from the famine. Though darkness covered the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Because that blood covenant is speaking for you. Can you shout amen? When blood is spilled, spirits are appeased. And spirits are released. And it gives you favor with spirits. That blood covenant gives you divine favor. You now see why God told the children of Israel in Exodus 3:21, I will give you favor before the Egyptian, and it shall come to pass when you go, you will not go empty handed. And when they were about to leave, Egypt were mourning all their firstborn that died. In the middle of the night, the angel of death by 12 struck all the firstborn. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the person in prison, to the firstborn of even animals, all of them were dead. There was so much mourning in Egypt. And imagine, is there a worse person to ask favor from than somebody mourning his firstborn? But because they came under a divine influence, the favor of God is a compelling power. It compels people to help you, to do you good, to give to you, to support you, to assist you. They will even go out of their way. They will know what is moving them. Somebody say blood covenant. The power of the covenant. Shakabalakataya. They went and met the former slaves, met their madam and oga. We are going, give me silver. She went and brought silver. Give me gold. Give me cloth. Now jazz. This one pass jazz. The favor of God is stronger than jazz. I say it is stronger than jazz. Supernatural favor. Kappa, tekido kappa. Is that not what was upon Queen Esther? The Bible says, during that beauty pageant, when the king needed to choose a maid, they gathered all the most beautiful. By the way, Esther was not the most beautiful woman in that competition. It's just that she carried Otumokpo because of the covenant. Listen, they carried, arrayed all the most beautiful women for the king to choose from. And they have done 1 year beauty treatment with all the best of beauty treatment. What do they call them? Yes, ma'am. All those things. Imagine doing beauty treatment for 1 year just to appear for a few minutes before the king. But the Bible said there was this covenant woman. Hey, Esther Adassa. Eh? A Jew with covenant with God. The Bible says that when the turn of Esther came, the moment, Esther 2:15, the moment she showed up, by the power of that covenant, the Bible says she obtained favor, not just in the sight of the king, but in the sight of everybody. See, the next time you go for that job interview, you will obtain favor. This new covenant is speaking favor. The blood of Jesus is speaking favor for you. That contract will go through. You will receive that grant by favor. You will receive that scholarship by favor. You will receive that landed property by favor. You will receive that car by favor. You will receive your house by favor. You will receive that miracle job by favor. The blood of Jesus is speaking favor. You will locate your married partner by favor. You will be gloriously married to the right person by favor. Somebody listening to me right now, the Lord says you will enjoy an all expenses paid for wedding by favor. By the favor of God. By the favor of God. By the favor of God. Shakabalatia. So massive resources are coming to you by favor. Somebody here, God will soon surprise you with a major miracle. A major miracle by favor. A major favor miracle. A major breakthrough coming by favor. Because the blood of Jesus, the blood of the new covenant, is speaking supernatural favor for you. What is not working for others will work for you by favor. Shaka balakida. The favor of God is giving you preferential treatment. Shatabaka sataya. You are jumping queue by favor. Suddenly from the back to the front. From the back they will remove you and bring you to the front. You will enjoy preferential treatment by divine favor. Kalabosa, this is our month of overwhelming favor, and it's coming by blood. Somebody say by blood. Ayagabalataya, the blood has been shed. Favor, angels of favor have been mobilized. Kapaliko bora kapataya, mende bresko teketaya, ronde keba. Somebody will soon receive a brand new car by favor. By the favor of God. By the favor of God. Some monies are coming to you by the favor of God. You are receiving overwhelming financial favor. Overwhelming financial favor. These spirit beings, you know, I say when blood is spilled, spirits are released in your favor. These spirits released, they are steering the heart of your destiny helpers to favor you, to help you, to assist you. Ayagabalataya. Suddenly, thoughts of you will start coming to their mind. They will start dreaming about you, how to help you, how to favor you, how to bless you, how to give to you. Mandabakasaya. Their hearts will be favorably disposed towards you. Shamali kobora kapataya, embreketena, malakus kapatai, iloko frekete, malatia. God stood in blood. In Genesis 22, he told Abraham, I swear, he said, because you have done this, I swear that in blessing, God stood in blood and declared, I swear, it's called sworn blessings. The covenant releases sworn blessings. Ayagabatai, you are too blessed to be cursed. He says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination.
nation against Israel. No jam, no jazz, no charm, no spell can work against you, because you are blessed. You are empowered to prosper. You are empowered to flourish. You are empowered to excel. You are empowered to succeed. No more failures. That negative cycle of failure is broken. You will not fail another exam again. Your days of defeat are over. I say your days of defeat are over. That negative cycle of defeat in your life and family is broken. In the name of Jesus, every force, every power that said nobody will rise in your family, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, I decree, fly. You will not just rise, you will fly. You will soar on the wings of eagles. Where they say you will not reach, you will overreach there. Kabalataya, every limit is broken. By this blood covenant, you are rising beyond limits. You have become unlimited. Your success is unlimited. Your progress is unlimited. Kapata kabalataya. This covenant releases power for unstoppable progress. I'm telling you, from today, nobody can stop you anymore. You have become unstoppable. I say your success, your progress, your greatness, your prosperity has become unstoppable. Manda balatia, lekrosketi la brakatai. Your life is powered by blood. Something must be speaking for you. Life is powered by blood. Something must be speaking for you. And the good news is that the blood of Jesus is dripping on the altar, and the blood is speaking for you. This is why you must make tremendous progress. This is why you must go forward. You must make advancement. This is why you have become unstoppable. This is why doors must open for you in high places. Say the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Lagabagadaya. That blood has swallowed up generational curses. It has swallowed up enchantment. Every spell, it has swallowed a shiga balatai. Tepele kondo breketeya. Zebila kapakataya. Every curse is swallowed up in victory by this speaking blood. The blood of Jesus is speaking for you. It is speaking forgiveness. Ilabonde kebaya. Don't die because of sin, the condemnation that comes from sin. The blood of Jesus is speaking forgiveness for you. Is speaking remission for you. Is speaking redemption. Is speaking palatakido kabatai. Manda barose beletena. What is the lamb that was slain? To receive. Shatakabaya, power to receive riches. Blood money, come to me now. Covenant wealth, come to us now. So you learn to stand in blood and start calling forth your covenant wealth. You start calling forth your blood money. It has been paid for by blood. It has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. You call forth your healing. You call forth divine health. You call forth a life of glory and honor. You call forth your monies, your inheritance. You call forth your blood-bought inheritance. No more suffering. No more suffering. Affliction shall not arise a second time. This blood guarantees deliverance. It has delivered us from the authority of darkness. Kapala takabaya. This blood is speaking healing, is speaking health, is speaking supernatural deliverance. He's speaking supernatural protection. Supernatural protection. You will not die like a chicken. You will not be a victim of wicked and unreasonable men. You will not suffer armed robbery, harassment. Blood is speaking for you. You will not be a victim of terrorist attack. They will not come near you. With long life, it has satisfied you. He said, you are established in righteousness. Thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression and from peril. It shall not come nigh thee. He said, surely they shall gather, but not by me. Whosoever is gathered against you, they shall fall for your sake. Therefore, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. By the power of the blood covenant. Shalaba kose beletena. What is the lamb that was slain? To receive for us power, to receive riches, to receive wealth, to receive wisdom, to receive strength, to receive long life, to receive honor, honor, honor. That blood is speaking honor, divine honor, a life of honor. No more shame, no more reproach. The blood has wiped away your shame. It has wiped away your reproach. A life of honor. Your days of shame, your days of reproach, your days of being mocked, your days of mockery, they are over. This new covenant in his blood guarantees a life of honor, has ushered you into a life of honor, and the honor of the Lord have swallowed up your shame. The honor of God have swallowed up your shame. The honor of El Elyon has exalted you. The honor of God have swallowed up every trace of shame. For your shame receive double honor. You will not be disgraced, because it's a new covenant of grace. His grace has taken away your shame. His grace has taken away your disgrace. What is the lamb? To receive glory. It's a life of glory. No blood, no glory. No blood, no glory. Because Jesus has shed his blood, we have been ushered to a life of glory. It's a life of glory. He has called us to a life of glory and honor. Shakabataya. The Bible talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. A life of glory is what follows his suffering. And we are living that life here and now. He has paid the price by his own blood for you to live a life of glory. For you to live a life of dominion. For you to live a life of victory. For you to live a life of honor. Obalaba kasaya. That blood covenant has purchased our redemption. It has made us new creations. It has given birth to the new creation. It has given us righteousness. It has made us righteous with the same righteousness Jesus has. Kabala tuza balataya. Manda bakoso bokotana. It has given us wisdom. It was that covenant that gave to Jacob the wisdom on how to breed cattle supernaturally. The wisdom, divine ideas, concept and insight, the visions of God in the night in a dream. The angels of the covenant, they came to Jacob. He said, lift up your eyes, look at the cattle. They are stripped, they are rain streak, they have spot. And when he woke up, he went and applied what he saw, and the Bible says supernaturally he took over the wealth of Laban. And the Bible said he became rich, he became wealthy, he worked great, he became exceedingly great by trading covenant secrets by the wisdom of God. This covenant will give you wisdom for wealth, wisdom to make wealth, wisdom to create wealth, wisdom to explode your business, wisdom for career and business breakthrough. Kabali koborondo sofreketena balada baba baba basha shataka baba babo selekida. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the church of the firstborn. You have come to the spirit of judgment made perfect. You have come to the blood of sprinkling. You have come to Jesus and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. That blood is speaking forgiveness, is speaking mercy, is speaking favor, is speaking grace, is speaking victory, is speaking success, is speaking progress, speaking supernatural prosperity, divine healing and health for you. Kalabonde kebahaya. That blood is our covenant exemption from famine, from lack, from poverty, from sickness, from death, from destruction, from danger, from every form of affliction. That mark of covenant exemption, we have it in Christ. That covenant in his blood has exempted us from all the evils and calamities and tragedies that is bedeviling this world. It has exempted us from the darkness that is covering the earth and gross darkness the people. That blood is our weapon of victory. That blood is our token of victory. In Revelation 12:11, he said, and they overcame him, and they overcame the serpent, and they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We are children of the covenant. The blood has been shed. The blood has been of the Lamb that was slain is speaking for us, is speaking supernatural victory. That blood is our mark of exemption. Shalabakondo breketeya. That blood was shed. The Lamb was slain for our redemption and salvation. The Lamb was sacrificed for us, for us to live a life of victory and dominion. The blood has given us victory over Satan and all the cords of darkness. It has given us victory over all the devils, over death, hell and the grave. It has given us victory over sin and all its consequences. It has given us victory over sickness, over poverty, over lack, over scarcity. Victory over all spells, curses, evil altars and covenants. Malabakoso bolekete.
chapter 9 verse 11. I want us to take a few prayers. Shakabo sobo reketia. Mandabo sabalakidas. We are entering into things. There's such an anointing. I'm feeling a strong anointing. We are entering into things. This is the wrongest time for your mouth to be quiet. We are entering into things. There are shiftings. There are rakings. The tectonic plates are moving in our favor. Things are turning. Things are turning in our favor. Kalabosha. Somebody's life and destiny is changing. It's being rewritten. Somebody's story, God is rewriting it. And all is happening by blood. I told you, life is powered by blood. Something must be speaking for you. Shakaboleketia. In our case, it is the blood of Jesus that is speaking for us. We are standing in that blood to do everything we do. As you are going for your lecture, you are going for that exam, stand in blood and make declaration. As you go for your business, stand in blood and do that business with this consciousness. Make decrees. Katobakataya. A sacrifice has been made. There is blood dripping on that altar that is speaking for you. It's called the blood of sprinkling. Mandaboko seketena. Shabalatia. As you move around, don't be a victim of fear. Fear of accident, fear of armed robbers, fear of terrorist attack, fear, all manner of fears. Don't be a victim of fear. Be conscious of this blood covenant. Be conscious of the blood of the everlasting covenant that is speaking in your favor. That blood has given you victory over the spirit of fear. That blood is speaking supernatural protection and preservation. Imagine if that lamb, animal sacrifice that Moses instructed all the children of Israel to offer, and then plastered the blood on the doors and lintel so that the angel of death will not kill them. The moment the angel saw the blood of that lamb, those animals, he moved. He didn't kill them. He went and killed all the Egyptian firstborn. If the blood of a lamb can do that, how much more the blood of Jesus? Why will you be afraid of death? You can't die like a chicken. Blood is speaking for you. Am I communicating? This is how me I think. This is my consciousness. That's why I don't think of all this accident. I don't think of that. I can't die like that. I don't think that way. Blood is speaking for me. That blood, it exempts you supernaturally from death and destruction. Am I communicating? It will not come near you. Therefore shall no evil befall you. No plague shall come near your dwelling. That blood has exempted you supernaturally from premature death, from all forms of demonic attack. Are you getting my point? It guarantees supernatural protection and preservation of your life, your family, and your properties. You will not suffer losses again. And the one you have lost, you will recover it by this blood. I want you to pray this prayer with anger and aggression. He said, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Next verse. He said, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even to today, do I declare that I render double unto you. Now go back to verse 11. Let me show you something. You are going to cry out. Now, that prisoners there, out of the pit, wherein there is no water. It is illegal for a child of God to still be in any form of prison wherein there is no water. Am I communicating? I told you Satan rules over the ignorant. Now with this understanding, there's somebody here, those bad dreams are ending today. It's a word for somebody. Yes, by this blood sacrifice, by this blood of Jesus, all those harassment in your dream, all those demonic attack and torment that you have suffered in your dream, it is ending. It has ended. It has ended. It has ended. You are delivered from all of that. No more harassment. No more demonic attack. No more demonic oppression in your dream. Life is very spiritual. I counsel a woman in this my office that she was attacked in her dream by a diabolic woman that looked more like a witch. And the woman cut her with razor blade, sharp, something like that, in the dream. When she woke up, she saw it physically. Physically, I saw it with my own eyes too. Life is very spiritual. That's why you have to be conscious of this blood sacrifice. You have to be conscious of what is working in your favor. Even when you engage in spiritual warfare, use the blood as a weapon. It's part of the weapons of our warfare. This blood of Jesus, they overcame him. When Satan comes disturbing you next time, sprinkle the blood. I say use the blood weapon. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now you are going to enforce your victory in Christ and begin to proclaim your deliverance. Enforce it violently. You are going to say, Father, this prayer is for you and your family. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the everlasting covenant, I decree my victory and my deliverance out of every pit, out of every prison house, out of every bondage, out of every captivity. I come out now. I am delivered by the blood of the covenant. Lift up your voice and fire prayer. Every form of oppression, every form of demonic oppression, you are coming out of every pit wherein there is no water. The pit of sickness, every prison house is breaking. I command every prisoner to be delivered now by the blood of Jesus. You are coming out of every prison. Financial prison. Sickness prison. Poverty prison. By this blood. By the blood of the everlasting covenant. Today is your day of deliverance. By blood you are coming out. Kalabakondo breketekete. Every prison house is broken. Every prison door is broken. Every prison door is broken. You are coming out of the pit wherein there is no water. Every financial pit you are coming out. Rondo Boroboko Sokoto. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of deliverance. You and your family, you are delivered from every prison house. It shall come to pass in that day, his burden shall be lifted from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of the anointing. Every yoke is destroyed. Every barrier is broken. Every burden is lifted. Alabashata. Shalabakondo brekete. Every prison house is open.
Every prison door is broken, shattered to pieces. Every chain is broken. No more stagnation. No more retrogression. No more. No more. No more limitations. No more delays. Help that person. Help them. Manda barakoso brekete. No more delays. The yoke of demonic delay is broken. The yoke of satanic stagnation is broken. Bring them, bring them. Ele brekete ke brekete. Shalabakon broken. Chains are broken. Arabonde breketekeba. Chatakabala barondo brekete. By the blood of the everlasting covenant. Shalababonde kedea. Somebody is being delivered from the spirit of shame. The spirit of shame. The honor of God is swallowing up your shame. The honor of God swallows up your shame. For your shame, receive double honor. For your shame, receive double honor. Alabakondo barakatai. Lidaba, bring them forward. Shatakabaya. Somebody, God is saying to you, you will not suffer disgrace again. You will not suffer shame. You will not see shame again. Your days of shame are over. Surely the Lord God will help you. You will not be ashamed. Alabakondo barakatai. The honor of God has swallowed up your shame. Manda sule beletena. Kabala kabakata kabakatai. Break. In the name of Jesus. Somebody I'm seeing. You dream, you see yourself naked. You see yourself. Now that's it didn't happen once. You have dreamt like that several times. Now, in the name of Jesus, it's actually the spirit of shame. But thus said the Lord, it shall not stand. That satanic, the plan of the enemy to shame you, to make you an object of mockery, to make you a disgrace, to disgrace you. Nakedness in the physical is the height of shame. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, I decree that the honor of God have swallowed up your shame. That spirit of shame, I command the influence broken over your life. For your shame, receive double honor. Where is the first lady you brought? She went back. Come, I have to lay hands on her. Kidoboko sete. Anda kabarako sofrateke. Free, break. Lift up your hands. Jesus. You are free. Kito kabatiza. There are some people, I'm seeing chains on their legs, some around their waist. Now, lift up your hands. You are going to pray violently. The Bible says Paul and Silas, when they prayed and sang,
suddenly there was an earthquake, and every door, hi, there's an anointing to open doors and to break chains, to break chains, to break chains, chains of marital delay. Chains of marital delay, chains of stagnation. I'm seeing somebody is as if they tied you to one spot, and you are trying to go forward, you are limited. Lift up your hands. By the power, kabatiko barakata kabrakatai, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I stretch my hands over you. I decree every chain, chains of delay, chains of oppression, chains of stagnation, in the name of Jesus, I command those chains be broken now. Be broken now! Be broken now! Lift up your voice and fire prayer. Every chain around my life, Abaleke Bakatai, somebody's business, we explode after this prayer. Somebody's business, we be delivered from this limiting chain. Somebody's career, somebody's finances. Break, break. Oh yes, you will begin to run and not be weary. You will begin to run. The anointing for speed, as the chain is breaking, the anointing for speed is resting upon your feet. Ayagabalakatai, lepeketoske peleten. The Lord said, I should release to you that which you have been trusting God for. I don't know your heart petition. I don't know your prayer request. I don't know the things you have been trusting God for. But I am commanded and anointed to release your heart desires according to God's will into your hands. Are you ready for this? Stretch forth your hands. I will give you 1 minute. Begin to vocalize. What do you want God to do for you? Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Lift up your voice and begin to talk to him now before I release my prayer on you. Begin to ask him for whatever you want him to do for you. Go ahead and begin to ask him. Whether it is a miracle or a breakthrough or
divine healing, all supernatural open doors, admission, miracle job, miracle husband, miracle cars, landed property, prosperity, you want money, everything you want God to do, begin to talk to him. Shalabakondo bresketila kaparakatos. Ilabakondo breketena. Manda bala kuska balatina. Jesus has already paid the price for them all. Go ahead and ask. Ask in faith. Ask in the name of Jesus. Shabala kumbrekete. Miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, financial miracles, miracles of breakthrough, miracles of open doors, miracles, all manner. Kelepora sabalatiza. You need wisdom, ask for wisdom. Shamalakoso burekete brakete. Ilabarondo sovrakatiam. Manda balakuska balakidas. Kai, chains of delays are broken. Chains of delays are broken. Chains of oppression are broken. Now, will you stretch forth your hands as I pray for you and command the release of your miracles into your hands? As I pray, some of you, the angels will be dropping your answers instantly. I want your amen to shout, to roar like thunder. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, I command a release now. I release the answer to your prayer now. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive your miracles. Receive your healings. Receive your miracle jobs. Receive favors. Receive open doors. Receive supernatural prosperity. Receive business breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray in other tongues. It is done. Manda kababo sheleketena. Rondo boko so breketekete. Ila babonde ke breketi la barakatai. Ele borondo braka pala kasula katai. It is done, saith the Lord. Shama la kuska pala katai. Imbreketena. Somebody will receive a 24-hour miracle. Within 24 hours, somebody's answers will materialize. Within 24 hours, you are receiving your testimony. Within 24 hours, your breakthrough is entering your hands. Your miracle is entering your hands. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing an alert entering somebody's phone. And listen, it's an amount that you have not seen since this year began. You will rejoice, you will celebrate. I call it done in the name of Jesus. I release miracle monies now in the name of Jesus. You will hear financial good news.
Financial doors are open unto you. You will enjoy overwhelming financial favor. Lift up your hands and just bless His name. Thank you, Father. What a mighty release. Some of you, tonight, you are going to have divine encounters. The Lord will visit some of you tonight. In visions, in dreams, in revelation. And God will let you know that what happened to you in this meeting has shifted you to another realm. Has turned around your story and turned around your captivity.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-65-302610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.